If you'll find two places in your Bible tonight, find Psalm 37, verse number 12, verse number 13, and then find Isaiah chapter number 36, Psalm chapter 37 and verse number 12. Isaiah chapter 36 will actually be in 36 and 37. I'm going to tell you ahead of time, I'm going to do a lot of reading tonight. And it's needful for you to see what's going on in those two chapters in Isaiah. Brother Henry, I got to stop and ask, didn't I see John and Kathy coming up the parking lot? They're over there helping. Well, praise the Lord, brother. It's just been bothering me. I didn't know what was going on. That's good. I hope that those kids will get Brother John straightened out tonight, don't you? That'd be a real blessing, amen. Be a real blessing. All right. In Psalm chapter 37 and verse number 12, the Bible said, "The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming." I'd like for you to just keep that in your heart and keep that in your mind tonight, because we're going to close with the same couple of verses that we opened up with. Okay, so I want you to see, the message was birthed in my heart in Isaiah chapter 37. And then there's really no way to teach Isaiah 37 without Isaiah 36. But if ever in your life you're going to see a prime example of what Psalms chapter 37 and verse 12 and 13 are saying, the wicked plotteth against the just, but the Lord's going to laugh at him, for he seeth, God seeth, that his day is coming. Now that's a common saying, to say something like, well, your day's coming. You know what I mean? And my dad used to say that when I left his tools in the grass. He'd say, "You'll have a son one day. Your day's coming." How many knows what I'm talking about? Amen. Dad needed the wrench, and when he finally found it in the grass, it was so rusty you couldn't use it. Amen. But I think about that a lot. But in other ways too, when you're talking about people that are just mean and wicked, you've heard people say, "Well, their day's coming." Maybe a wicked boss, and somebody that just vile. Every word comes out of their mouth is vile. Their heart's vile. Maybe you've thought or heard somebody say, "His day's coming." But this is what God said: "The wicked plotteth against the just." Before I start reading in chapter 36, I want to give you kind of the first point, I guess, in the outline. Hezekiah is faced with a real problem. He is faced with a real problem. Let me say this to you. In our country, we're faced with some real problems. Now, you can bury your head in the sand, act like we don't have any problems, act like $20 trillion is $2,000, but we've got some real problems. We've got some real problems economically. We've got some real problems socially. We've got some real problems morally. And these problems are festering. They're not getting better. They're like a splinter or a piece of steel under the skin. They're just gouging at us, and they're just festering and getting worse with time. They're not getting better. Let's look at Hezekiah's problem, the real problem in chapter number 36. I'm just going to start reading. I may stop and make a comment along the way. Now, it came to pass in the 14th year of King Hezekiah. By the way, King Hezekiah was a good king, and God used him, that Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, came up against all the defense cities of Judah and took them. And the king of Assyria sent Rabshakeh, from Lachish to Jerusalem unto King Hezekiah with a great army. And he stood by the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the Fuller's Fields. Anybody know what that conduit was back there in Bible days? It was a big, lifted up above the earth. It was like a concrete trough that was formed to carry water from one place to the other. That's what the conduit was. Now, when we say conduit today, normally we're talking about something you put a wire through. But in that day, it was where the water came. Then came forth unto Eliakim, Hilkiah's son, which was over the house, and Shebna the scribe, and Joah, and Asaph's son, the recorder. And Rabshakeh said unto them, "See ye now to Hezekiah. Thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria." I like to stop right there and say, he might have been a great king, but there's one greater than him. Amen. That's our Lord. "What confidence is this wherein thou trustest?" Watch this now. "I say, sayest thou, but they are but vain words. I have counsel and strength for war. Now on whom dost thou trust that thou rebellest against me?" He's speaking to Hezekiah. "Lo, thou trustest in the staff of the broken reed on Egypt, whereon if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all that trust in him. But if thou say to me, 'We trust in the Lord our God,' is it not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah hath taken away and said to Judah and to Jerusalem, 'Ye shall worship before this altar'? Now therefore give pledges, I pray thee, to my master, the king of Assyria, and I will give thee 2,000 horses, if thou be able on thy part to set riders upon them. How then wilt thou turn away the face of one captain of the least of my master's servants, and put thy trust on Egypt for chariots and for horsemen?" And you could stop right there and say to America, I personally believe America's military should not be depleted. I believe America's military should be built up. But I believe America's confidence should not be in America's military. When you read the Old Testament, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses. That should not be where our confidence is. Amen? I hope I made that clear. I'm not against a strong military. I am for peace through strength. Okay? And in verse 10 he said, "And I am now come up without the Lord against the land to destroy it. Am I now come up without the Lord against the land to destroy it? The Lord said unto me, 'Go up against this land and destroy it.' Then said Eliakim," I hope that you're following me, because it's really important, "and Shebna and Joah unto Rabshakeh, 'Speak, I pray thee, unto the servants in the Syrian language, for we understand it. And speak not to us in the Jews' language, in the ears of the people that are on the wall.' But Rabshakeh said, 'Hath my master sent me to thy master and to thee to speak these words? Hath he not sent me to the men that sit upon the wall, that they may eat their own dung and drink their own," I'm not even going to say the word, "with you?" You can read. "Then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jews' language and said, 'Hear ye the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you.'" I'm going to tell you something right now. The enemy is wanting God's people to believe that their God is deceiving them. Now watch this. "Let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you." You know what I believe Hezekiah would have said? Amen. "I can't deliver you, but I know one who can." I believe that's what he would have said. That's "neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, 'The Lord will surely deliver us.' This city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Hearken not to Hezekiah." Don't listen to the man. "For thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present." When I read that, I couldn't help but think about Sunday. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? An agreement with hell. That's exactly what Rabshakeh is trying to do here. He said, "Make an agreement with me. Let's shake hands with a man and see how we come out."
said, with me by a present, and come out to me, and eat ye every one of his vine, every one of his fig tree, and drink ye every one the waters of his own cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your land, a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards. Beware, lest Hezekiah persuade you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered his land out of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arphad? Where are the gods of, boy, that's a hard one. I guess you would say Sepharvaim. And have they delivered Samaria out of my hand? Boy, he's bragging, ain't he? Where are the gods that can take me on? Who are they among all the gods of these lands that they delivered their land out of my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? But they held their peace. Answered him not a word, for the king's commandment was, saying, answer him not. Then came Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, that was over the household, and Shebna, the scribe, and Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder, to Hezekiah, watch this now, with their clothes rent, and told him the words of Rabshakeh. They came, they were messengers, and they were broken, they were humble, they rent their clothes. And it came to pass in chapter 37 and verse number 1. Does anybody see the problem now? I mean, the problem is, it's just tremendous. Listen, you'll never know how big God is until something's going on in your life that's bigger than you can handle. And that's what Hezekiah is fixing to find out. That yes, he's facing a tremendous problem, but he has a God in heaven that can take care of him in spite of the problem. I want us to go through this here we probably won't be too long, but this has blessed my heart when I thought about the wicked shall plot against the just. It reminds you kind of, and I didn't plan on saying this, but see if I can think about it. Haman, when he plotted against Mordecai. I mean, boy, it looked like he had it down to a science, didn't it? And he ended up hanging on the same gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. That blesses my heart. Amen. Like that bunch that throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the furnace. They ended up, amen, burn up at the door of the furnace. And then like that bunch that throw Daniel in the den of lions, right? Next morning, old Daniel, oh, king, live forever. Amen. So they got Daniel out, throw them in, and the lions had the mastery of them, the Bible said, gobbled them up. I tell you, we've got some enemies in our country. They think they're having a heyday. But honey, I want God's people to look up. God wants his people to look up. God wants us to realize, amen, we might be headed for some stormy waters, but there's one that walks on the water. Amen. When the waves of trouble are over our head, they're under his feet. And maybe America would begin to repent if it got too big for us to handle. Maybe we'd turn to God. Maybe we'd pray again. Let's go again now. Isaiah 37:1. And it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes, and he covered himself with sackcloth, and he went into the house of the Lord. I'll be touching on that again in a minute. And he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests covered with sackcloth, unto Isaiah, the prophet of the son of Amoz. Let me just say this, just quickly as I go through this. Hezekiah is making the right moves. I need to go on. And we'll come back to some of this. And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah. Now listen, Hezekiah is a child of God. Hezekiah has faith. But Hezekiah is going to tell the truth. He said, this day is a day of trouble. Hezekiah, must not have been a TV evangelist. They never have a day of trouble. They'll tell you if you'll live for God, you won't have a day of trouble either. There's a big problem with that, and it's called the Bible. All kinds of people in this Bible loved God and served God and faithful to God and had problems. The Bible said, in the world you shall have tribulation. And I believe this is what this message is about. Be of good cheer. Jesus said, I've overcome the world. Be of good cheer. Let's go on. They said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and of blasphemy. For the children are come to the birth, and there is no strength to bring forth. Let me just give you a little way to East Tennessee vernacular to say what's going on right there. We can't handle it. We're God's people, but we can't handle it. We need help. That's what he's saying. It may be the Lord, look at verse 4, it may be the Lord thy God will hear the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God. I tell you, I wish we could remember that right there. You see, a lot of people in Hezekiah's shoes would have said, he is sent to reproach us. That's not what he said. You see, when David faced Goliath, he realized that Goliath was not defying the armies of Israel. He was defying the God of the armies of Israel. And it does make a difference. The Bible said here, maybe that the Lord will hear the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore, lift up thy prayer for the remnants that's left. Hezekiah's sending word to Isaiah and saying, hey, buddy, we need you to pray. We need you to join with us in prayer. We need to seek God's face. I'll say this, if ever there's been a time in our country we need to seek God's face, it's the day and hour that we live in. The Bible said in verse 5, so the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. Isaiah said unto them, thus shall you say unto your master. I love how Isaiah gives it to him, the prophet. Look at these words. Thus saith the Lord. Those are beautiful words. Be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, wherewith thy servants the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him. He shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. I tell you, God wasn't shook up about it, was he? God was not tore up about it. Boy, if we could remember that, yes, our country's on the wrong track, but God's not tore up about it. God knows what we need. Watch this now. So Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libnah, for he had heard that he was departed from Lachish. And he heard saying concerning Tirhakah, the king of Ethiopia, he has come forth to make war with thee. And when he heard it, he sent messengers to Hezekiah, saying, thus shall you speak to Hezekiah, the king of Judah, saying, let not thy God, in whom thou trusted, deceive thee. Honey, let me just stop and say something. God ain't never deceived anybody. Not Hezekiah's God, not the God of the Bible, not our God. He's never deceived anybody. Now watch this. He said, don't let him deceive thee. Where are we at here? What verse were we in? In verse 10. Don't let him deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by destroying them utterly. And shalt thou be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them which my fathers have destroyed, as Gozan, or Haran, or Rezeph, or the children of Eden, which is in Telasser? Where is the king of Hamath, and the king of Arphad, and the king of the city of Sepharvaim, Hena and Iva. Now, here's what I've been trying to get to all evening. Just a few things here tonight. We've got a business meeting a little bit later tonight. Let me just give you a few things quickly. Look at verse number 14. I want to read it first. And the word of God said, Hezekiah received the letter. So Hezekiah's got it in writing. He's got it right in front of him. Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers, and he read it. He didn't act like it wasn't there. He didn't act like there was no trouble. He rent his clothes. He read the letter. Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. That little phrase right there is where this message was birthed in my heart. He spread it before the Lord. I just want to stop and say something before I really get into this right here. Years ago, and I know that many of you, if not all of you, maybe heard, I've said it from this pulpit, but I want to say it again in case somebody missed it. Years ago, I was trying to discern in my own heart and in my mind, what is the difference between worry and concern? You're not fit to be a mom or a dad if you're not concerned about your children. You're not fit to be an American citizen if you're not concerned about your country. We're not fit, beloved, listen, to be a member of Bible Way Baptist Church if we're not concerned about our church. How many's with me? But what's the difference between worry and concern? How many believes the Bible teaches it's a sin to worry? How many believes that? So what we're trying to say is it's right to be concerned. And Hezekiah is concerned. Hezekiah reads the letter. He said, oh boy, I'm concerned about this. He didn't act like it wasn't there. He read it. He was concerned. What's the difference? Let me read a couple of verses of Scripture quickly, and then I'll tell you. The Bible said here in Philippians 4:5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. That word careful there is talking about anxious. Worry. Don't worry about anything. That's what the Bible said. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Worry, frets. What are we going to do? What do we do now? The king of Assyria is coming. Look at all the nations they've already whooped. How in the world are we going to make it? But concern takes it to the Lord. And that's exactly what Hezekiah did. He spread it out before the Lord and said, Lord, look at this. A mom, a dad that's concerned for their children, better keep them before the throne of grace. Concerned about our church, keep our church before the throne of grace. Concerned about our brothers that are like Brother Bob in the hospital and needing a touch from God. Hey, listen, not going to go home tonight and just worry and fret and wring my hands, but I'm going to talk to Jesus about it. Amen. And that's what Hezekiah is doing. He's spreading it out before the Lord. And so, I want you to just look at me, look at this with me for just a moment. First of all, I'm going to make several statements finishing this up. Number one, Hezekiah went to the right place. You say, preacher, where'd he go? He went to the house of the Lord. This day is a day of trouble. Let me tell you what a lot of people do. When the day of trouble comes, they go away from the house of the Lord. Honey, if we've ever needed the house of the Lord, it's this generation and the day that we live in. It is a day of trouble. Hezekiah went to the right place. He went to the house of the Lord. Let me say this, a couple things real quickly. He went humbly to the house of the Lord. That's what that sackcloth. He wasn't going in an arrogant manner to approach the Lord. He wasn't going like a Laodicean. I have need of nothing. That isn't how he was going to approach the Lord. He was saying, Lord, we need help. We need you. We need you. He went humbly. And he went to the right place. He went humbly. Secondly, he went desperately. I believe Hezekiah knew. You've heard, I guess, over the years maybe, some of these preachers that act like they can handle the devil. I'll rebuke him. I'll do this. I kicked him in the shins. I gave him a black eye. I tell you what, that eye's out of hell. You can hear me right there. Because even Michael the archangel durst not bring a railing accusation against him, but he said, the Lord rebuke thee. And I believe a man or a woman that thinks they're a match for the devil's deceived. Even Jesus, 40 days and nights, fasting, hungry, led of the Spirit into the wilderness. This is what I love. If you'll read that story, he was led of the same Holy Ghost out of the wilderness. Nothing changed in the wilderness. Boy, that's good right there. Amen. Nothing changed. A lot of people get in the wilderness and everything changes. But Jesus didn't even say, I, to the devil. He said, it is written. I'll tell you one thing the devil can't handle. Honey, we wouldn't be here tonight if he could have done something about this blessed old book. He can't handle this book. You put that book on him. And so Hezekiah went to the right place. He went humbly. He went desperately. And then I want to say this. He went confidently. You say, preacher, what do you mean confident? Where do you see any confidence? Look at verse 20, the first part of it for just a moment. This is after he finishes praying. First part of verse number 20, he said, now therefore, O Lord our God, save us from his hand. Honey, Hezekiah wasn't playing a game. And when he gets through praying, he said, now therefore, God, listen, I'm not putting confidence in me or our horses or our army. My confidence is in you. And I believe when Peter started sinking out there that day on the water, when he cried out, Lord, save me. Honey, his confidence was in the one that was still walking on top of the water. The Lord Jesus. So he goes to the right place. The second thing I want you to see, as the Lord dealt in my heart, is Hezekiah went with the right purpose. Some people go to the right place every Sunday, but don't go for the right purpose. I don't know who they are, but I've heard stories when a man says, I go to church because it's good for my business. I say, help him, Jesus. Or it's good in the political realm or good in the social realm. I say, help him, Jesus. We ought to go to church to worship. We ought to go to church to pray, to spread some things before him. We ought to go to church because he said go to church. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. We ought to go to church to exhort one another. I hope and pray to God every once in a while you get encouraged because you came to the house of God. I've experienced this over the years. I'm kind of experiencing it tonight. Honestly. Sometimes when you don't feel like going, and you go anyway, God just pours out an extra bucket of blessing. Amen. So Hezekiah went to the right place. The second thing, he goes with the right purpose. I want you to see here, what do you mean, preacher? Well, in this text right here, he was going to spread it before the Lord. Look at the second part of verse 20. He's going to the house of God. He's went to the right place. He's went with the right purpose. You say, preacher, what do you mean the right purpose? Look here in verse number 20, the second part of it. That all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. Honey, that's the right purpose to have a church. Amen. Not so people will lift us up or look at us and say how great they are, but so that they'll lift him up and say how great he is. That's what Isaiah said, or Hezekiah. Isaiah saying the same thing. He's always going to agree with the word of God. But listen, Hezekiah is saying, Lord, I'm confident you're going to save us. Because I know, Lord, all the kingdoms of the earth need to know. And by the way, I don't know how many times that's in the Bible, but I know in my preaching, you'll run across it over and over and over again. God works on behalf of his people, not just for his people. He does love us, but he wants somebody else to know that he loves us. And he wants somebody else to know that we love him. And that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. So I see he went to the right place. He went with the right purpose. And then I want you to notice this. It's just absolutely awesome. He went with the right prayer. The Bible said in verse number 15, and Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Now see, Hezekiah is saying right here, Lord, I already know who you are. When we talked about his purpose a minute ago, his purpose was that others might know who he is. Well, that'd be a good reason to have a church on this hill, wouldn't it? That others might come to know who he is. The Bible said here in verse 17, incline thine ear, O Lord, and hear. Open thine eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear all the words of Sennacherib, which has sent to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their countries, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord, our God, save us from his hand. I hope that blesses you tonight to see Isaiah's prayer was not selfish. Isaiah's prayer was spiritual. It was not carnal. And beloved, sometimes the Spirit of God, the Bible teaches in Romans, I believe chapter number 8, maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Sometimes when we're in a heap upon heap of trouble, we don't even know how to pray. But aren't you glad there's one living inside of us that knows how to pray? Watch this now. Hezekiah, not only did he go to the right place, yes, he was facing great problems. He went to the right place. He went with the right purpose. Hezekiah went with the right prayer. Look at verse 21. Then Isaiah, the son of Amoz, sent unto Hezekiah, and saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, whereas thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, this is the word which the Lord has spoken concerning him. You know, think about this for just a minute. I think I would kind of like this, to be honest with you. If I was praying about a situation and I've laid it out before the Lord and God sends Brother Ralph, hey, let me tell you what the Lord said. He heard you. That's what's going on right here. Would that kind of be neat? The Lord heard your prayer. That's what he's going to tell Hezekiah through Isaiah. Son, you prayed and God heard your prayer. Now watch this. The Bible said here, this is the word which the Lord has spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, hath despised thee and laughed thee to the scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem hath shaken her head at thee. Whom hath thou reproached and blasphemed? Against whom hast thou exalted thy voice and lifted up thine eyes on high? Even against the Holy One of Israel. By thy servants hast thou reproached the Lord, and hast said, by the multitude of my chariots I am come to the height of the mountains, to the sides of Lebanon, and I will cut down the tall cedars thereof, the choice fir trees thereof. I will enter into the height of his border, the forest of his Carmel. I have digged and drunk water, and with the sole of my feet have I dried up the rivers of the besieged places. Hast thou not heard long ago how I have done it? Of ancient times that I have formed it. Now have I brought it to pass that thou shouldest be to lay waste the fenced cities into ruinous heaps. Therefore their inhabitants were of small power. They were dismayed and confounded. They were as the grass of the field and the green herb, as the grass of the housetop. Boy, God's just, he's letting him know through Isaiah, this is one bad dude you're dealing with. Sennacherib has done all of this to nation after nation after nation, to city after city after city. But God's not through speaking yet. But he said, but I know thy abode, thy going out, thy coming in, and thy rage against me. God's saying to old Sennacherib, I got your number. I know where you live. I know what you've said. I know what you've done. Watch this. Because thy rage against me and thy tumult is coming to my ears. Therefore will I put my hook in thy nose, my bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way which thou camest. And this shall be a sign unto thee. Ye shall eat this year as groweth of itself, the second year that which springeth of the same, in the third year sow ye and reap and plant vineyards, eat the fruit thereof. And he's saying this to Hezekiah now. Hezekiah, I'm going to give you a sign. He said, you're going to see it. You're going to eat. The second year, going to spring of the same. The third year, sow and reap, plant vineyards, eat the fruit. And then he said this, and the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. God's saying, I'm not done with my people. I'm going to take care of my people. He's heard this prayer. Look at verse 32. Out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shields, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. You say, preacher, why did you read all that? Well, I call that the promise. Hezekiah received a promise from God. God used the man of God. He used the prophet Isaiah. And he gives Hezekiah a promise. Now watch this. The angel of the Lord in verse 36 went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. You say, preacher, what else do you see here? If you'll look at verse 35, Hezekiah went to the right person. What do you mean, preacher? God said, for I will defend this city. To save it, watch this now, it's important, for mine own sake. You see, God can't break promises. When God makes a promise, he fulfills it. You say, what's that got to do with that verse? Look at the end of it. And for my servant David's sake. God promised David, and God keeps his promises. Listen, we need to get this out of this. Hezekiah is a great man. Isaiah is a great man. But God is going to work, not so much because of great men, but for his own sake. And for his own name. because he promised David years before that he would take care of Jerusalem. You see that? That's why I believe it's good to get back every once in a while to realize that Jesus said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. And the gates of hell aren't going to prevail against it. In other words, he does a lot for us. But honey, it ain't because of you and it ain't because of me. It's for his own name's sake that he takes care of the church. How many believes that tonight? I do. For his own name's sake. Hezekiah went to the right person. Let's go on down here. I'm just about done. And I thought I'd be done just a little while, but just a little bit more here. It's going to get good. In verse 37, so Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. Look at verse 38. And it came to pass, as he was worshiping, I've often said, everybody's going to worship something. Everybody's going to worship something or someone. And so he's not worshiping God, but he's worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god. And Adrammelech and Sharezer, his sons, smote him with the sword. Think about that. And they escaped into the land of Armenia. And Irshadan, his son, reigned in his stead. How many can see it now? The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. Brother Rose, I had to read chapter 36 and chapter 37 to know how it was going to end for Sennacherib. But God didn't have to read either one. God said Hezekiah had to get a letter to know how that Sennacherib was plotting against them, what he planned on doing. But God didn't need a letter. He said the wicked, always been that way, always will be. Till God comes and takes us out of this world. The wicked plotteth against the just. We, to the enemy that we're facing in this generation, are called infidels. They would like to take over the world. The wicked are always going to be plotting against the just. You say, who are the just? They're the ones that belong to Jesus, because it's through him. He's the one that is just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. I don't know about you tonight, but that blesses my heart to see that all along God had his number. Now, I remember the first time I don't know if it was the first time I read it or the first time I caught it, but I was reading in Proverbs chapter number 1, when they turned the Lord away, and then God said he's not going to hear when they call. They'll come and they'll call, but he's not. He said, I'll laugh at your calamity. God said, I'll mock when your fear cometh. I don't know about you, but I believe that's a side of God that this generation doesn't know much about. They've laughed at him, laughed him to scorn. They think they've got the upper hand. But honey, I tell you, the one that's got the upper hand, he's sitting on the throne. He's still in control. How many's glad you come tonight? We've got a very real enemy, a very real problem. But thank God tonight, we can go to the right place. We can come with the right prayer. We can experience the last thing in the message tonight was the right protection. God protected his children from Sennacherib. And God used Sennacherib's own children to kill him. Isn't that something? Something, isn't it? Thank you for coming. Father, tonight, we appreciate so very much the Word of God. It's so rich and so full. And I know, Lord, tonight I've just scratched at the surface of these two chapters. Lord, how you've blessed my heart looking at it tonight. Thank you, Lord, for strength. Thank you, Lord, for enough mind and the Spirit of God working in us, Lord, just to teach us a few simple truths from thy word. Lord, tonight, it was a day of trouble. Lord, I can only imagine how that you turned that day of trouble into a day of peace in Hezekiah and Isaiah's life. Thank you for the remnant, Lord, in Judah. God, I thank you for the remnant in this generation. Folk, Lord, that love you, love your word, love one another. Help us, Lord, to serve you with gladness till you come. Protect us, our Lord, from the enemy. Help us to raise high the blood-stained banner. In Jesus' precious name.